All righty. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN, and talking about the way we are dressing in America. Is casual good or is casual bad? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And let's get back to the calls. Don't want to keep people waiting. We've heard from a lot of guys so far today, but let's hear from the women out there. Julie in Amherst, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. I found it a little interesting you mentioned the years 67 to 70 when you were looking 68. At pictures with changes in dress. And frankly, I believe that as we dress, so do we behave. Those years are interesting to me because back then I was in junior high when 7th, 8th, and 9th were together, like at Hoover and Ben Franklin and everywhere else, and senior high were separated. That was when the dress codes were relaxed in the schools. That was when you were allowed, right around that time, 1968-ish, 69-ish, we were allowed to wear jeans to school for the first time. Girls, too. And I will tell you, the ones who did, I think the arguments, you know, and those are still valid arguments. You have people who can't afford certain levels of clothing, but you can always afford to look nice. And you have other people who were just poking against the machine, so to speak, back in those days. And I will tell you, the behavior of the people who dressed down reflected what they were dressed in. And I remember the girls especially were more affected because we used to mostly wear dresses and things to school. That was, you know, the arguments back and forth and debate type classes were uniforms versus no uniforms and the where's and the why's. And I think that still exists today. But I remember dressing in nice jeans and a warm top for the very first time ever, nervous about it, to go to school on a day we had a field trip to Fort Niagara, which was a cold, rainy November day. I dressed what would have been common sense appropriate, but was actually one of my favorite teachers was very disappointed in me for how I dressed because it was definitely not ladylike.
Well, and describe not ladylike by the standards.
I was wearing nice jeans. I was not in like a dress, which was the common thing back then. You know, we had mini skirts and stuff. And this teacher, everybody loved this teacher. One of the best social studies teachers in the school. And but I was wearing jeans. I wasn't wearing nice pants and something else. But it was a rainy, muddy day, and I made that choice. Through the years, I've always loved to watch and learn and see what trends bring around and, you know, theories of why people dress the way they dress in my tiny little brain. And this past week, last week, I was in clothes, you know, I dressed up for church. And yes, the dress code has certainly changed for church. When I was a kid, you had to wear gloves and hats on Easter and whatever, and then they relaxed that. And that was fine because, you know, the men didn't have to wear hats all the time.
Didn't you find it weird, though, that the men had to take off their hats in church and the women had to have their heads covered?
Yeah, I was just thinking that just before you said that. And I think that was something that was good. You know, it was considered respectful. But that's one old rule that made no sense.
So I
was dressed in a skirt and a nice top and nice shoes and things, and I was out looking for a particular type of antique, and the difference in how I was treated was amazing. I mean, people are always very nice, but it's definitely a little bit different.
And, exactly. I'm sorry, but I mean, people, mm-hmm. if you don't believe what she's saying, and if you don't believe what I'm saying, do a little experiment. Go to a nice restaurant dressed as you casually as you feel like being dressed, okay? And they'll actually let you in. Then put on a suit, and or if you're a lady, put on a nice dress, and the difference in treatment is startling.
It sure is.
Because it's human nature. We are animals, and animals judge other animals based on their appearance. That's why when a cat arches its back and fluffs out its tail and puts its ear back, the other cats know, all right, I think I'm getting a message here. The message is back off.
Well, you're not going to be laying over the side of a couch arm if you're in a suit or, you know, a tux or a nice dress. You're going to be sitting appropriately. And frankly, I think your manners, the whole thing is just a decrease in manners and etiquette, which ultimately mostly was formed for a basis of respect to others. And the dress, manner of dress, is one of those last bastions that broke down with things. But I can tell you that my relatives that live in D.C. are many are very well connected. You would not catch them dressing inappropriately for anything. And
apparently, you're not related to Fetterman in Pennsylvania.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, and that hit the news with that. I guess there was a Washington Post or a Times journalist that tried to dress like Fetterman did and got turned away from a restaurant because of it, because of looking like a slob. So.
Yep.
You know, we don't need to break those down. There are other countries in the world besides ours, and people would see certain behaviors and dress as a slap in the face. And
well, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, you got to read up on the customs and norms and mores of any place you're going to be going that is not the United States, and sometimes not even New York State. I mean, for example, in St. Louis. See, in Buffalo, we're used to calling everybody by their first name, right? In St. Louis, when I lived there, everybody was Mr. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so.
Ooh, I was brought
unless
up
they
that
gave
way
you
too,
specific
though.
Permission to use their first name.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo's a first name city. Okay.
Here, with the you needed specific permission, and I'm fifth generation to be in this city.
So. I liken it to the German. If you're talking to somebody formally, it's Sie, and if you're talking to somebody informally, it's Du.
Cool. Yeah. And
they've got two
yeah.
different tiers there.
But it was and then I volunteered. Down around Obama was president. I volunteered in a charter school downtown, poorest of the poor, was through literacy volunteers and mentorship program, and that charter school had a dress code, and it made the kids feel part of something. And the dress code was blue polo shirts, either long sleeve or short sleeve, and tan khaki pants or skirts if the girls so chose, and it made them feel elevated somehow. And I always had a theory. Remember the giant clothing people wore, super baggy stuff? I had a theory that some strong person didn't have the money to buy something new. He had hand-me-downs from their relatives, so they chose to dress like, you know, a total slob. And it caught on because of the confidence in that person who happened to be just a natural personality leader. So then we had all that going on. And I have theories about why on earth do they wear pants that are below their underwear and practically showing everything. It's like, what are you asking for there? Dress code is what it is. And then with girls, I mean, you don't want to admit that if you're dressing in a little sexy behavior manner, that it could attract the wrong thoughts from someone who dresses like a slob.
Well, it might, but that's where men have to be gentlemen and control their sexual urges.
Yeah, but it's a subconscious effect, and we all have it. Whether we want to admit it or not, but yes. But back when that dress code changed, there was a definite change in behavior in the schools. I saw it in all of us, and some ways it was definitely better, but other ways not so much. And it just has gone further and further downhill since then. I mean, there was no real balance.
Julie, I'm going to be a pervert here. Do you mind if I'm a little bit of a pervert? What are you wearing right now?
Oh, I have my sweats and my shirt that says, with the little sketch of the Capitol that says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups.
All right, but you're just bumming around the house.
Yes, I am. I'm doing laundry and cleaning today, and I don't anticipate seeing anyone right now.
Yeah, I mean, see, there's a big difference between bumming around the house, okay, or bumming around where I work at the radio station, because A, nobody's at the radio station, okay, and there's just too many things that can just get hung up on or spilled on or pens that leak, and I don't want to wreck a perfectly fine suit for the sake of looking good for nobody. Except myself, when it doesn't really matter much what I'm wearing on the air. You can't see me. I don't see me.
I have gone out on occasion wearing T-shirts and pants full of paint when I needed to run to the hardware store and get something to finish painting or wallpapering.
Well, going to the hardware store. Look, going to the hardware store. Look, going to the hardware store. Of course you're not going to look like you're going to church because you're going to a hardware store.
That was the common sense dress for that time frame. So
there's
common sense, and there's over the top in either direction. So,
all right, my love. Anything else?
No. Have a wonderful day, and looks like we need to add our bumper shoots to our outfits today. It's looking a little gray out there. So have a great day.
Of course. Already am. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I want to hear from more women on this whole dress thing because, you know, Pete, you guys have made some great points so far, and you've brought up things that I haven't even thought about, and I haven't even had a chance to read the article to you that I found, but I'd rather take your phone calls than read an article from somebody that I don't know. Well, we talked to Tom about this last week, so we're going to skip Tom today. This is David in California. David, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yes, sir.
So it just so happens that the topic of the day here that you guys are talking about, I live in California, obviously, so and this morning I called both Schumer's office and Fetterman's office just because I kind of wanted to know what the impetus was, especially on Schumer's end, because my understanding as to what was explained to me by the staffer that took my phone call is that basically all Schumer did was wave his magic wand and instruct the sergeant at arms of the Senate not to enforce a law that's already on the books and has been for Lord knows how many years, right?
Kind of like immigration.
So, pardon me? Yeah.
Kind of like immigration, yeah. Well, I mean, Fetterman, you know what? I feel sorry for Fetterman. To be very honest with you, the man clearly has health issues, both, I think, mental and physical. I feel sorry for him, so I have a hard time wrestling up any rancor for Senator Fetterman.
I understand that, and I'm not calling to make fun of Fetterman. Schumer's the one I want to talk more about, but let me preface it, because Fetterman was the first phone call. And so I called Fetterman's office and just asked the staffer what he thought about it. And he said, the senator thinks it's great and whatever. I said, okay. I said, I do have one other concern, though. It seems like he is, he has issues, unfortunately. He had a stroke. And I said, he acts like a child because this is true. I'm not making fun of the man. I brought up, when he was asked about Biden being impeached, he went, ooh, and acted like a little kid wearing his hoodie in the Senate, acting like a child. And I said, so that's kind of concerning to me. And the staffer immediately said, well, the only reason that there's going to be an impeachment hearing is because Trump is mad because he was impeached twice and he's got the whole House in his pocket. I didn't even call to talk about that. I was just bringing up that he was acting really strange when asked about it. And this guy rattled off this whole thing about how there's no evidence and it's a witch hunt and they're only doing it because Trump and McCarthy's only doing it to save his speakership. Okay. I've heard all that garbage before. So anyway, I call Schumer's office and this is a better call. I said, well, if Senator Schumer is the one that unilaterally just wiped out an existing rule, I would just like to know the impetus. That's it. I just want to know why. And the guy said, the staffer said, we don't have an official policy right now. The office. I said, you did this
sure
thing,
they do.
A bunch of press.
Sure they do. The policy is senators can dress however they want, but everybody else has to adhere to a dress code.
That's
the policy.
That's exactly what I brought up. I knew that. And so I brought up that policy right away. I said, well, it's rules for thee and not for me. I said, these people are, but staffers and all the visitors, they have to dress appropriately. That means men wear suits and women do, whatever. You have to dress appropriately. I said, I bet you. I said, what are you wearing a suit right now? And he goes, oh, sir, I can't really. I said, I got $20. Says you're wearing a suit right now because you have to. So I just want to know why. Gave him my email address. I just want to know why. Nobody will tell me from the Schumer's office. He's the one that did it. No one will give me the impetus.
My suspicion is it has a lot to do with Fetterman. And quite frankly, as I've said, I feel bad. Forget politics, okay? Politics does not enter into this at all. I have empathy for what Fetterman is going through psychologically and physically. And you know what? If it's a one-time thing, if it's a blockout because of Fetterman's special circumstances and conditions, you know what? I'm not gonna raise holy hell over that. I mean, the poor man had a stroke. He's had pretty much a nervous breakdown. And you know what? If that's what it takes to make him a better senator to represent the people of Pennsylvania, it's not our state. Yeah, it is the United States Senate. But I'm inclined to cut slack to people who have health issues.
Well, I'm with you on that with the health issues. What he should do is not be a senator because he can't handle it. It's ridiculous.
Well, and that's
when you start to take it out on me.
Sir, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I don't know that he has the competency to be a senator, but I also don't think he's going anywhere until God wants him to. And I wish him nothing but the best of health. And you know what? Honestly, I wish the man the most comfort in the time he has on this planet. I just don't have it in me to go after a guy who's that sick. I just don't.
I'm not going after him. I'm going after Schumer.
I understand. You know? I understand, but I think that's why Schumer did it. I might have made the same decision. Or I think it probably would have been better to say everybody except Fetterman has to adhere to the dress code, but special circumstances require special answers, and that would be my special answer. And if people didn't like it, well, too bad.
Well,
my friend, I must move on unless you've got something else to say. Be happy to hold you on. We can put you on hold if you want to add further thoughts to this. But we're not, most of us are not United States senators, okay? We're just working squids, men and women squids alike. And or would that be squid? Got to look up the proper plural of squid. But in any event, this is a show I've been dying to do, and it's actually taking off. Thank you. Could this be an instant classic? I don't know. But when you go to church, how are people dressed? When you go to a funeral, a wedding, when you go to work, how are people dressed? And, starting off in this business as I did in 1981 at a 1,000-watt, one-lung radio station in Niagara Falls, even there, people dressed up. They wore nice pants, a nice shirt, and a tie. True story. Or at least, I guess, the early version of corporate casual. It is 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. More calls coming up from you. Have we gone off the deep end in terms of being casual? Should we become more formal in dress? And you think that there is a correlation between the way you act, the way other people act, and the way they dress. And as I've said many a time in previous shows, I'm going to tell you something. When I wear one of my very nice suits, and I don't spare any expense when it comes to suits, when I wear one of my nice suits, I don't care if certain people say, oh, he thinks he's above everything. I don't care if people say that because I like the way I feel when I'm wearing a suit. And if I like the way I feel, I'm going to feel better about being out. Simple as that. It has nothing to do with social hierarchies or being stuck up or anything like that. It just has to do with I like the way it makes me feel. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Have we, as a nation, turned into a nation of slobs? How do you dress? What do people wear that drives you absolutely crazy? How do you feel about ripped and torn jeans? They don't bother me. Some people, I think, look really good in ripped and torn jeans. I don't know. I mean, men, women, some people can pull off the look. I can't pull off the look. Some people can, I can't, and that's fine. The other thing where I mentioned that my outfit as I do this show is sweatpants and a T-shirt. And I should also make reference to the fact that medical appointments, it's always sweatpants and a T-shirt and possibly a Buffalo Bills jersey because it very simply easy access. Do I have to say more? Easy access. I mean, I don't feel like fumbling around with belts and flies and buttons if I'm going to the urologist's office, okay? And when you're bent over that table, there's just a certain sense of intimacy that you feel. And who wants to feel, you know, all penned up in a suit when you're enjoying those wonderful penetrative moments as a man? 803-0930. That didn't sound too gay. 803-0930. No disrespect intended to my homosexual audience. I love you. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You don't want to know what I say during the DREs. You don't want to know. It's not good. I will always be mentally 12 years old, okay? Just so we're all in the same boat on that. Thank you. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, there's so many great lines I've had over the years, and I can't repeat a darn one of them to you guys on the air. But my doctor knows, and he gets a kick out of me. Anyway, let's get back to the call, shall we? And with alacrity. Here is, it's another Buffalo babe. It's Deb in Buffalo. Deb, how do you feel about the way people dress in 2023?
Well, I think you need the right tool for the right job. So there's a reason we wear different clothes.
Wait a minute. You're going to follow my urology reference to that?
There's a reason we wear certain clothes gardening, different clothes to church, different clothes when we visit our grandparents, different clothes when we're hanging out on the couch watching the football game. People don't have to like it, but society has developed a standard where certain kinds of attire, certain ways you carry yourself are signs that you respect this place or you respect these people.
Yes.
In a way that's a little different than yes. when you're just hanging on the couch with your friends. And you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I feel differently when I'm dressed up than I do when I'm hanging out in flip-flops.
Well, Deb, you raise a great point when you say the right tool for the job. And the lady who called in before, I think it was Julie, when she goes to the hardware store because she's mid-thrust in painting, and nobody expects you to dress up in a hardware store. You're probably mid-project. Same thing, as you said, when people garden. I mean, you got to wear sloppy clothes when you garden because mulch is dirty. Dirt is dirty by its very nature. And when you go to visit, well, when I go to visit my grandparents, they don't really care what I wear because they're graveyard dead for a long time. But, little too rough. Anyway, but in any event, please continue.
Well, and with regards to Fetterman, I think I agree with you. The man is impaired and should be spending time on his health. And I don't, my comments aren't about him so much as that the Senate should be holding the line on a certain level of decorum, that they're 1 of 100 in the United States of America. And I think a certain level of respect and signaling that you are there doing the people's work or supposed to be there doing the people's work anyway, that, you know, look the part. Is it really that difficult?
Are you willing, as I am, to make an exception for Fetterman owing to, exigent circumstances or unusual circumstances? I feel bad for the guy. And if
well,
wearing
I
hoodies,
think, no.
If wearing,
no.
if wearing,
he can
no?
wear a
okay.
suit. He can wear a suit. Well, he has worn a suit. Now,
yes,
I mean, obviously,
has.
if somebody breaks their ankle and has to be in a walking cast and can't wear trousers, you know, maybe you do something else. But I don't know, where do you draw the line? Then it just seems silly. Nobody
well, I would say that when somebody's had a stroke and depression, you probably want to cut that person a little slack. And let me just give you a counter argument. All the conversations that we have about mental health in America and I'm listening and, oh, talk to us about your mental health. Well, I'm sorry, but Senator Fetterman obviously has some issues. So if by allowing him to wear what he chooses to wear makes him feel better and makes him a better senator, you know what? I don't care that much. But what I would have done had I been Chuck Schumer is basically called it the Fetterman exemption. We'll do this for Fetterman, but nobody else. And we also don't know what the man has in his body. And I've had certain procedures where I've had tubes poking out of my body and sweatpants were the only thing I could actually wear. Right. Otherwise, it was just way too painful.
Well, obviously, a medical exception is something different, but he has worn a suit before. And nobody says that he has to wear a tailored skinny suit that are all the rage right now. There's relaxed cuts of all kinds of things. And I just think there was no consultation and with a larger body. And, there should be some basic standard in the country. And I just don't think that that's a very high bar to expect to wear professional business clothes to be one of 100 in the United States of America.
Well, see, I think Mitch McConnell should be forced to undergo a facelift, but that's just me.
Well, you know, that's a different topic altogether. Medical impairment is one thing. But I don't think that that's been demonstrated. And I think it makes us look silly. I think it looks silly.
Well, let's forget about Fetterman for a minute, because, I mean, with this exception, isn't Fetterman kind of a reflection of America today? I mean, hoodies and loose pants and or shorts are kind of like normal attire today. It's not like if this was 1950, there's no way this happens. If it was 1980, there's no way this happens. But 2023, what are you going to do? Maybe we'll see more senators dressing this way. I mean, I would like to see Kirsten Gillibrand in a bikini actually in the Senate.
There you go. I tell you, I heard my neighbors were talking about it, and they were like, you know what? If this is what they're going to do, then all the other senators should just go all in and demonstrate how ridiculous and how silly this is. I don't think that because everybody's doing it, that means that it's necessarily a good thing. I don't wear my pajamas to the supermarket. Comfortable clothes. I do think, to your overall point, there is kind of a degeneration of just basic public decorum, not just in the way we communicate with one another, but in the way we present ourselves. And there is such a thing as just being too relaxed. I just think there is. I mean, when I was in high school, we had uniforms. And you knew, okay, we're going to school. We have this uniform. It was also the great equalizer. Nobody knew who had more than somebody else because we're all wearing the exact same thing. And you were, when you put that on in the morning, you knew you're mentally were like, okay, I'm in school, right? It's the same way as if you put your athletic clothes on. You're like, all right, I'm ready for tennis or whatever it is that you do.
Well, you raise an interesting point. I went to school at, I went to massage school many, many years ago, and we had to wear the massage school T-shirt and, I think, dress pants from massage school. And it was no big deal. Everybody did it. And I can't say that it made me feel better about myself or worse about myself or anybody with whom I went to school. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have a different opinion. I don't think there's anything wrong at all with having an expectation of certainly somebody in the U.S. Senate to wear business attire. And the hypocrisy of the whole ruling was that only the senators are exempt, all visitors and staff. So if it doesn't matter, then why does it matter for those other people? Just remove it altogether.
Look, I understand that, but I mean, I'm trying to direct the conversation away from Fetterman because this goes way beyond Fetterman. This goes to, you know, 290 million Americans and whether or not we become a nation of slobs. I mean, maybe Fetterman is simply a reflection of ourselves in the mirror as a society.
My answer to your overall question is pretty much when you're looking at your pajamas and you're thinking you're going to go somewhere in your pajamas, you might have crossed the line. And other people don't think so, obviously, because I see people in their pajamas all the time. Obviously, people can choose to wear whatever they want. We are still America, but I do think to your overall question, the sloppiness of how you look lends to sloppiness in how you act an awful lot of the time. Not always, but
you know, that's a great question to throw out to people. Those of you in the listening audience from whom we've yet to hear yet, from whom we've yet to hear, do you believe that you act differently when you are dressed better? And, like, what kind of wardrobe do you affect in different settings? Like, you go to a wedding, you go to a funeral, you go to a nice restaurant. I've been to way too many funerals lately, and if I go to a funeral, I've got a delicious black overcoat that I wear over one of my suits, and in the wintertime, and it looks quite dashing, I must say. Anything else from you, my love?
Nope, I think that's it. Have a good rest of the show.
The first part wasn't that good? Now you want it to be better?
Exactly.
All right, thank you, my dear. I appreciate it. All right, 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone. I've been dying to do this show for longer than 20 minutes, okay? 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. The one thing, though, that is, I will tell you that's tough. If you live in Buffalo, we have a way of packing on the pounds in the winter and then trying to lose weight in the spring. And God forbid there's a funeral in the winter and you don't have a suit to wear, then you've got to really scramble at the last minute to find, let's see, are these jeans dark enough to pass as dress pants? Can I find a shirt where I can actually button the top button? Where's the collar extender? And I've forgotten. How do you tie a tie again? I'm still trying to learn how to tie a bow tie. That's not going too well. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Well, I expect to join the Black Muslims very soon, so I got to get the uniform thing. So we're talking about the way we dress in America. I mean, obviously, the Fetterman situation is one of the things that spawned this topic, but just general observations that you have had in public. I mean, if you stand outside and watch people leaving a so-called black church, you will see people dressed to the nines. If you sit outside most of the so-called white churches, you will see Motley Crue t-shirts and jeans. There's like a big difference, and it's a cultural thing because our black brothers and sisters, again, they've explained this to me, and it's like, oh, I get it now. We want to show our best to God. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, but then again, Jesus wasn't wearing Brooks Brothers. I mean, look at the crucifix on your wall if you've got one. It's a loincloth. I mean, I don't think we're going to show up. I mean, if we're going to emulate Jesus, we're not going to start wearing loincloths to church, are we? 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. The phone number. I suppose that would be, you know, if a priest, a religious leader ever tried to take you down over your fashion sense, you could always say, well, what would Jesus do? He'd be wearing a loincloth and possibly a long flowing robe right now. Is that acceptable dress? Oh, that'd set him back a few, huh? Might get you excommunicated, might damn your soul to eternal hell, but, you know, it's a good argument. The other thing, too, is I can't believe tracksuits have not come up yet. Remember when tracksuits were all the rage? In particular, in the 1980s, every guy had tracksuits they wore. Some communities more prevalent than others. I will let you use your own imagination. Let's go to Kathy. Oh, I love all the women calling in today. This is awesome. Kathy in Lockport, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I want to say I was a nurse in the day of even wearing uniforms in the hospital, and I feel that I did feel differently. I carried myself different and more confident, and then now I have a job that I don't have to wear a uniform, and I can wear street clothes, but I wear office casual, and at the end of the week I might wear my jeans and a nice top, but I feel in the beginning of the week when I'm dressed up, I am different. I present myself differently, and I carry myself differently. So it has an effect on the way you dress. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to say, I also work where I'm involved now with teachers. And when parents walk in and they approach me because they think I'm the teacher because I'm dressed appropriately, I'm finding teachers are in ripped jeans and T-shirts and blend in maybe with educational aides or room aides. And I say they're coming to me thinking, oh, even though I have a stethoscope around my neck, I'm the nurse, but it's the way you dress. And they're coming to me first versus the teacher who's dressed with those aerobic leggings. I can't stand those either. Those are so skin tight. And they're wearing those with T-shirts, and they think, yeah, you're not the teacher. You're dressing like that or ripped jeans. You know, in my day it was acid wash jeans, but ripped ones, my mother would never let me pay that kind of money for ripped jeans. And people in their pajamas, I don't understand it. And like the lady said, you need the appropriate dress and the tool for your job. I mean, sure, Fetterman can do his job, too, but...
Let me put it this way. Whether Fetterman was dressed in a three-piece custom suit that cost him $8,000 or whether he's dressed in a hoodie, he's still going to be Fetterman with all of the impairments that come from being Fetterman. And I can't – I do not have it in me to criticize Fetterman, okay? I'm sorry. I've been through too much in the last 6 years to jump on anybody because of health issues. No way. I can't do it.
Well, you have to have professionalism. You need to look the part. And like I say, back in the days of nursing uniform, you know, it's respect, and you respect the position too.
Well, how do you feel about you were a nurse?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just asking a question. Scrubs, people who work in hospitals who wear scrubs outside the hospital. This is going to sound horrible, but when I see somebody wearing scrubs in public, I try to stay as far away from them as possible because I have no idea what kind of bodily fluids, bacteria, or viruses are in that fabric.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's frowned upon wearing your scrubs or your uniform in public. And when they used to have nurses' nights at the locker room, you weren't supposed to really be out in your uniform in nurses' night either. You know, you're taught in school, your uniform is for work. You don't wear it in public. And plus, the germs are all on it. Exactly. A lot of times we change our uniform at the work.
The locker room?
And we're different. Whenever.
You just dated yourself.
Yeah, it was Kenmore Mercy days. Yeah, you go there, you change your clothes, and you don't wear your scrub. You don't wear those home.
If you want to hold on through the news, my dear, if you'd like to hold on through the news, I'd love to hear more of what you have to say because we'll put her on hold there, Tanner, because I have a special thing for nurses. Everybody knows that because be as nice as you can to your nurse because your nurse is really in charge of your case. It's not the doctor. It's the nurse. LPN, RNs, PAs, seriously. Yeah, they're the best. I love you, nurses, with a passion. Just keep the morphine coming. It's 3:58 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you, or is it Hermann Göring? I'm not sure. But we will. He was a morphine addict. But anyway, we've got more calls coming up on this subject. Dressing in America, have we become a nation of slobs? When did it start? How do you dress? And what bothers you when you see people dressed a certain way in public? On News Radio 930 WBEN.